Off the ball. Rugby.
Absolutely loves what he said. He said, we need to develop more X-Factor players in key positions. Like, that was his first entry into being the director of rugby.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 30 of the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews and the crack. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. This week for members, we will focus on Saturday's action at Royal Ascot. So subscribe now. Johnny Ward, how are you?
I'm good, JD. How was the week for you?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
Mm.
You've had a good week?
Had a good week, yeah. Back to Gus Rodan and had a child as well, so not in that order.
Congratulations.
But, yeah, it was funny, like I was up when I was in France a few months ago. I'd had a few glasses of wine and I texted Aidan O'Brien about a horse that was running called Agenda, and he actually ended up running very well in the Derby trial since, but he's paid for a few of the items of clothing that the boy has bought, and his name is Coon as well, so he's possibly named after King Coon, the Paddy Toomey horse, but yeah, he's doing well.
Coon Ward.
Coon Ward, yeah, so.
Congratulations.
Thanks, JD.
And lots of fun ahead and lots of magic ahead. So, Royal Ascot, looked good on TV, weather was great, and can we say something different about Aidan O'Brien? Because over 400 Grade 1 and Group 1 winners now, and the Flash, is difficult to say the same thing every week and how great it is, but I wonder if there's anything different that we could say.
Yeah, like he's had a sparkling year as well, because in the last sort of few weeks we've had, you know, the Derby, which for me was one of the highlights of the Flat in many, many years, the performance of City of Troy. But, you know, City of Troy and Auguste Rodin and Kyprios, they've all had kind of stop-start careers in some respects, JD, and he's gotten them back to where they could be. And I did back Auguste Rodin on the basis that I thought if White Birch were in the race, he might have struggled to beat him going on the curve. But other than that, I thought he was the best horse. And you kind of referenced it there. The weather's been good. The ground, I think he's a top of the ground horse. And he was seen to best effect. But his performance in showing the toughness that he needed to, considering the fact that he's a bit of an all or nothing character, was very encouraging. Kyprios winning the Gold Cup. It's just such a great race, the Gold Cup. It's funny how a race over that distance on the flat can be so magical, but there's something about it. It's just stairs with speed and the courage you have to show and how long it is, and that even the bell that rings when they're coming into the straight in Ascot and you can hear the crowd roar. That's exactly what racing should be about, where the crowd is buzzing. And obviously the other horse we should mention, you know, that he's had in the last few days, as I really think he's obviously had Port Fairy win as well, Illinois won as well. And, you know, the performance of, the performance of Kyprios was outstanding, I thought, considering the problems that he's had. And we're recording this on Friday and I doubt he's finished yet.
So the Gold Cup, Kyprios won six times in 2022, back from injury, won twice this year going into this. And a race, I think one could predict, though, I kind of felt Ryan Moore was very good to be handy with the horse. And the horse just always does enough. Trawlerman never felt he was going to get to Kyprios, and Vauban just kind of flattened out.
Yeah, like Vauban, I'm not sure, in fairness to Vauban, I'm not sure if 2.5 miles is really his trip. And he kind of raced a bit like that. I still wouldn't mind having Vauban in mind for these good flat races, but Trotterman was really, really game. Like if it had been a weak horse he was taking on, Trotterman would have met it a real battle. Kyprios won by length. As you say, it's kind of hard to know how much he has in the locker. He's a brilliant, brilliant stayer. It's interesting to know what sort of plan they have afterwards, because I wouldn't mind seeing him rock up in the Ark or something like that, Kyprios. I'm not sure if, you know, what the plan is going forward, but he's not that slow either, and I do feel he's exceptionally talented and tough.
Auguste Rodin, as you said, got two ways of running, but I think that, as you've pointed out there, the key to this horse is fast ground. But Ryan Moore, once again, he's just riding so brilliantly, and we probably say this again every week, but had the confidence to take it up a couple of furlongs out with Auguste Rodin and use the horse's stamina to repel the French challengers as Arakem and Horizon Door. And Auguste Rodin, when I looked at him through the finish line, he wasn't stopping, so just think he needs to get wound up a bit, this horse, but we can see him maybe at the Breeders' Cup, maybe later in the year.
Yeah, and like prize money of 567 grand for the winner. Like, you know, it's he's still more than paying his way. You know, Inspiral was in the race, stepping up in Trip JD. I did feel, it said in the race boss comments, he took a keen hold early, Auguste Rodin. I didn't feel he was keen. I thought he was perfectly in Ryan Moore's hands. And he was perfectly placed. And I think you referenced this in the sense of the ride that he got. I was slightly worried what he'd find, you know, when Zarakem came up to him. But it was more that he was perfectly placed in the race. He found plenty for pressure. And stepping back up to a mile and a half, I think he'll... will be more suitable for him. I think mile and two is the limit, is probably as short as he wants, really. But it's good to see him produce back-to-back performances. And how good is White Birch? Because he did beat him readily at the Curragh, albeit on slightly softer ground.
He didn't run. This was the Prince of Wales Stakes that Auguste Rodin did win. Back to Tuesday, the Queen Anne Stakes. The horse, I mean, you took this horse before, Sharon, was consistent throughout the year. Third in the St. James's Palace Stakes over the course and distance last year. Won twice this year before second of the Lochinge. And this consistency resulted in a win on Tuesday in the Queen Anne Stakes. A very good ride by Sylvester D'Souza to calmly sit in the pocket on the near side and then push the button. And the horse's stamina came into play.
Yeah. when there's a baby on Monday, Tuesday seems a long time away now, JD. Like, this seems, I mean, this was what? The first day, first race. And we had that mad situation of Big Rock going the far side, going really hard. And he's a horse that I wouldn't be giving up on. I just think he wants softer ground. And I think they're wasting their time with him a bit in these races on that sort of ground. But Sharianne, it was, you know, a bit like the Lochinge in the last day, except this time, you know, instead of kind of not being able to reel in audience this time, it was straightforward enough. Always looked the winner in the race. He's a very, very good horse, this fellow, when he gets a good pace to sit off. It was 2.25 lengths, but it was very comfortable. And the right horse in behind, Docklands Majume, you could say audience maybe... probably as good as I think, to be honest, the performance in the Lochinge would have slightly been flattering, but that you know, this was a race full of good horses. He did have a strong pace to sit off Sharianne, but he's a very, very good horse over the mile when it's strongly run.
The Coventry Stakes over 6 furlongs on the Tuesday, this was mad, this result. So Rashabar won at 80-1. Billy Lochnan riding his first Royal Ascot winner, beating horses priced at 40-1, 50-1 and 40-1. What I was impressed by this horse was that he was over on the far side, an enterprising ride, a field of 22, broke well, and then just kept going on the far side. The next 9 finishers came down the stand side. So this could be a decent horse, this juvenile Rashabar.
Definitely, like, and as you say, JD, Camille Pissarro was over the far side as well, and I never thought Ryan Moore looked that happy on that. He was maybe going a bit too fast, or that he was doing too much. But this horse obviously went into the race as a maiden, Rashabar by Holy Roman Emperor, very, very tough sire, Holy Roman Emperor. But I don't think there's any fluke about it. You know, as you say, that didn't look to be an advantage on that side. They went a strong pace, and he was able to keep going. And big result for Billy Lochnan. I think, you know, a lot of people who follow maybe a lot of the low grade stuff, and now the higher grade stuff in England, will have been on about him for some time. Daniel Mark, his trainer, would have been based in Ireland, moved over to England, and he's a special kid. Lovely emotional interview with the parents afterwards.
At the King Charles Stakes was a 5 furlong race won by Asphora, who won a Group 2 in Australia. Grand conditions suited better than Haydock, where he was a runner the last time, and given a fine spin by Oisin Murphy. Like, Oisin's had his ups and downs in the game, but I think he's getting back to his best. A very talented rider, Oisin Murphy.
Yeah, and either side of him, Big Evs and Regional, and he was produced under Oisin with very, very good time. And I suppose there's a notion that the Aussie sprinters, and he wouldn't be the best sprinter that they have, that are a little bit better, but I thought he won with a little bit in hand. Like, he won by a length, kind of in control at the line. I thought Regional really battled on well for pressure, and the right horses again were involved in this. It was a very good renewal of the race, or good renewal of the race anyway, in terms of an open renewal. And it was a nice performance from him. And yeah, as you mentioned with Oisin, I still think, like, you know, maybe Ryan Moore is the best, but Oisin Murphy's well up there with the best riders going. It's just a question of him. You know, it's a tough life as well, and a lot of the jockeys have their frailties like us all, and sometimes, you know, things go wrong. But he's top of his game at the moment.
And we have the St. James's Palace Stakes on Tuesday over a mile. I was disappointed by an audible speech. He just faded quite tamely. And Rosalian, following up his Irish Guineas win with another victory. Once again, Sean Levy, good here, patient, and trusted his horse to get up and do Henry Longfellow on the line.
I felt this was just a phenomenal race to watch, because it was like, it was sort of the highlight of day one. Everyone was buzzing for Royal Ascot. But can you put your mind to be Sean Levy, where the passage that he negotiated from the top of the straight was just, you know, it was so much of a prisoner to fortune and other horses kind of not getting in his way. Now, you have to have the horse. And Rosalian, some people might say he actually got him out of a hole a bit at the Curragh. I would feel at the Curragh that he felt he always kind of felt confident he was going to get there, but this was completely different. The Curragh is a really straightforward track to ride, where basically it was a question of whether he left him with too much ground to make up, whereas this, it was you know, there were 8 runners in the race, but It was a very, very complex route he had to go from where he went. You could see others coming in, notable speech come up the outside. He was disappointing, JD. I do wonder if he was quite at his best on the day. It's possible he was flattered a bit by the guineas as well, because he didn't pick up here, and it was quite stark. If Rosalian were taking on notable speech tomorrow, you'd be fancying him all day long. He's improving. He's a hell of a turn of foot. Like, he's by Blue Point, which is a speed influence in him, but he showed a lot of guts as well to beat Henry Longfellow. And I think, given the lack of milers in Ireland at the moment, I think Aidan O'Brien would be delighted with Henry Longfellow. He showed that his French Guineas run was a little bit false. Very well bred horse, and he's interesting as well going forward. But Rosalian, for me, I'd nearly be tempted to drop him back in trip. I just think he's so much speed, but he's the best miler. I think he's overtaken Notable Speech in terms of the best miler of the 3-year-old generation this year. Some question marks regarding Notable Speech in this run.
Okay, so Wednesday we have the Duke of Cambridge Stakes, as well as Augusto Dan's victory later in the day. We had Running Line winning this one over a mile. Seen as an Oaks type last year, this filly, but might be your optimum now, back to a mile, dictating on fast ground once again. Oisin Murphy in the van, and she was comfortable.
Yeah, comfortable actually, and I think again it was a good ride from Oisin Murphy. I this is my other bet in the week. I backed Rogue Millennium, who was beaten two short heads for third, but I sort of felt had every chance. You know, she was an expensive purchase. She might just want slightly softer ground, but again, Laurel second place it's rock solid form, Running Line, and I thought she was quite good here. To be fair, I didn't think there were many excuses in behind, and Running Line again, she's a horse that'll be quite interesting regarding trip, because she's been very versatile. She's actually won 5 races now, but going back up to mile and two will not be a problem to her, and she was happy to dictate dropping back to the mile here.
On Thursday, the Norfolk Stakes was won by Shareholder Value for the win over 5 furlongs despite drifting left in the final furlong. I was checking out the connections. Wasland Racing, I believe the Emir of Qatar is the ultimate owner of horses in these colours. This horse cost $460,000, so the Emir of Qatar getting involved in the game.
Yeah, and like the Qatari influence in racing has been interesting. We have kind of Qatar racing and all of that. Yeah. And it's funny, like, racing doesn't ask too many questions of where the money comes from, but like there's so much money in the Middle East that a lot of it filters over here. And this has gone on for years and years and years in Ireland, where I think we've been very happy of the patronage of obviously the Aga Khan, but Hamdan Al Maktoum, Sheikh Mohammed. You know, I feel at times racing doesn't ask enough questions about where the money comes from and what sort of, you know, but, you know, anyway, it's by the by. But, yeah, we have a Qatari influence here. And
it is part of the Middle Eastern heritage. Like,
it is,
absolutely. For a couple of 100 years.
You know? And you're talking about the, you know, the Arab sort of thoroughbreds and all of that.
Yeah.
But this operation is getting, you know, it's getting more into it. And to be fair, like, we need the money coming from the Middle East, because our prize money over in these parts isn't really good enough. And again, it was good to see kind of James Doyle with the winner. I think he's a very good rider. We're obviously very, very short on good sprinters in this country at the moment, but Arizona Blaze did run very, very well,
yeah,
you'd have to say. And Adrian Murray, I actually met Adrian Murray recently at Kilbeggan. He's local to Kilbeggan. I think he's kind of Westmeath direction. And it was around about the time that Amo Racing and Keo Jorbachain were in the news over the split with Roger Varian. But he said he's a gentleman, very easy to train for. And there are certainly two sides to every story when it comes,
yeah,
to what that split. I've heard why it happened. It's hearsay, but maybe it'll come out in the future.
Okay, the Ribblesdale Stakes, Port Ferry, was a 12-1 winner for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. They put a visor on her. She ran well at Chester. She was given a break. She was rested. And she, once again, was galvanised to beat Lava Stream. How can Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien turn up with a 12-1 winner at Royal Ascot? Please,
I know.
Can you tell me?
And Rubies Are Red was shorter on the market. Like, and I back Rubies Are Red at Epsom.
What's going on?
I couldn't give her a chance here. Like, and I couldn't see why she was, like, she just found nothing at Epsom. I thought she was just not good enough. And she's,
but the winner. How can the winner be 12-1?
This is it. And you know, I'm not sure if Ryan had a tough choice or what the story was. But
the other horse is probably just fancied in the race. There was one in the,
yeah,
Oisin Murphy Road. There's another one that ran well, I think, in the Dante or something.
It was a big win for Australia, the sire, but I don't know if it was the strongest renewal of the race. Calpana was well backed, probably no real excuses. Port Ferry is very tough, and lovely interview afterwards on ITV with the girl who was looking after her as well, and how much it meant to her. Not the strongest renewal of the Ribblesdale, though, by any stretch.
Anything else you've seen then on the TV coverage or anything quirky or unusual? See, Matt Chapman was definitely having fun, I think.
Yeah.
What I saw on the TV.
Yeah, it's interesting. I suppose Matt Chapman now is kind of... I think the role that Matt Chapman plays needs to be appreciated as well, because like a lot of journalists, and I'm at the races, JD, when it's on in Ireland, and you can become a bit wary of interviewing people, particularly in a doorstep and interview where basically it's live and the person has no time to say no, and some people just don't want to do interviews. And Matt Chapman, like he's a tough job, because he has to go up to people, and like Aidan O'Brien was before Henry Longfellow's race. That was an interesting interview when, like, Aidan O'Brien, I'll interview Aidan O'Brien a very, very particular way, as would you, because, you know, he's quite unique and he's been extremely giving with interviews, but he's going to answer things in a certain way, and Matt Chapman's kind of putting words in his mouth that the horse is going to make the running. But it's very funny TV. I'm sure Aidan O'Brien didn't necessarily enjoy it, but Matt Chapman, I think people need to respect the role that he plays, because it's not easy. It really isn't, and it's been great to watch Roy Lask as well, the King as well, who you know, the King has had, I'm not a royalist, but I'd have a soft spot for King Charles, and I know he's had really, really strong health issues, and you know, I think he's been unbelievable for Ireland, and it was good to see him racing as well.
So let's just pick out one race to preview then for the weekend. We could do the Ulster Derby, or we could do the big one at Ascot on a Saturday, the Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee Stakes. Before we get into the members section, what do you want to pick out that we'll preview for this section?
We'll pick one race from Royal Ascot, the Ulster Derby.
We can do that. Ulster
Derby, we can do that. So we might look at. I know it's only the Group 3, the Jersey Stakes. We might look at that because.
You can look at it, because I didn't do this one now. Yeah. I did all the other races.
So this is a fascinating one, JD, because we have Hatem coming back, but River Tiber, who obviously took on Rosalien at the current form that looks exceptionally good now, was behind Hatem on that occasion. But the Jersey, of course, has run over 7 furlongs. So River Tiber, who for me didn't look like he got the trip on that occasion, should have a great chance here over the 7. And it'll be really intriguing to see how Ryan Moore rides him, and I wouldn't be underestimating Hatem as well, but I feel he's probably going to appreciate stepping up in trip. And Ascot is, like, I have to say, I'd have Ascot nearly ahead of Cheltenham at this stage in terms of how engrossing the racing is.
Well, it's been very competitive.
So competitive, and like...
A lot of different owners, a lot of different trainers, people coming from different countries.
Different countries, like, you know, so you have plenty of French horses, which is...
80-1 winners.
80-1 winners, Aussie horses, American horses, and it's like, it's proper, even the Jersey Stakes here, which is a Group 3, like, you have the second and the third and the guineas in it, and I'm really looking forward to this race, and in the member section, maybe we'll look at the other good races on day 5 as well, but this is going to be a cracker.
Okay, make mine a double J. I'm going to go for a tip in the Queen Elizabeth II Jubilee Stakes. We'll talk about it more in the member section, but over 6 furlongs, Group 1, 3:45 for Ascot Saturday. Chartash won the Railway Stakes at the Curragh as a 2-year-old for Johnny Mercia.
Yeah.
And is now in the hands of Archie Watson, and has won both starts for Archie. I think he's got a definite chance in this, about 13-2, 6.5-1 each way. Chartash and each way bet to nothing for me. That's my make man a double GA selection. What is yours?
Mine is River Tiber, who's a very, very good 2-year-old, and I feel this might be his optimum trip, and he's running the Jersey Stakes at 4:25.
Okay, this is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look ahead to Saturday at Royal Ascot and also that Ulster Derby at Down Royal, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.